This talk is brought to you by awakenedheartproject.org.
So the first one is the number one on this chanting sheet. Moda ani lefanecha, ruach chai v'kayam. There's obviously more words than the word thankful, but that was enough of a kavanah, I think, for this prayer this morning, is that we're trying to develop thankfulness. Later we can think about in front of who, for who. But so the words mean, I'm thankful before you, living in eternal spirit. Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam. 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 Modani lefanecha ruacha. Lefanecha ruacha v'kayam. Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam. Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam. Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam.
A little softer.
Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam. Modani lefanecha ruacha v'kayam.
Take the words inside.
So thinking about that instruction of meeting every moment, every experience of the day, every person we meet, every being we meet, with a heart that's so filled with gratitude, unobscured with any confusing obstructions, so that our own heart's natural compassion can wish them well, wish this moment well, wish ourselves well in it, to have nothing but a heart ready to bless, unimpeded by anything else. Really echoing the commandment that starts the morning practice, I hereby take upon myself the commandment to love my neighbor as myself. And for me, the image that comes to me when I chant Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael, I think of its place in Scripture, where the king Balak has asked the prophet Balaam, whose voice and words are so powerful, to utter bad words, to harm the Israelites going through the country, so they won't be able to continue. And Balaam, filled with the Spirit of God, each time he opens his mouth, cannot say anything but blessing. And so I love to think of that scene of them on mountaintops, and Balaam unable, as the Israelites pass in his view, to do anything but bless them. And I think about the fact that in the course of my days, in the course of, I think, all of our days, there are things that come along that we're not pleased to have come into our experience. And the unguarded tendency of the heart is to respond in some aversive way and to back off from the experience. To stay present means to stay there with the experience, to be able to know that this experience, these people, this is here for, because it's the lawful consequence of anything that's come before. Everyone who's doing anything can't be doing anything other. Anything that's happening can't be other than it is. This is a lawful divine cosmos. I would like it very much if nothing ever came out of my mouth but blessings. So that's the intention, the kavanah that I have in my mind when I say Matovu.
Matovu. Yeah.
Some words about the chant Elohai Nishamashina Tatabi Taharahi, the fourth one on your sheet. So the word Nishama in Hebrew, which usually gets translated as soul, my God, the soul you've given me. It's the same Hebrew word. A lot of you have heard many of these things before, but it's really important at the beginning for bringing everybody into the same place, how we're using these concepts and these words. So the word nishama, which means soul, is very closely related to the word nishima. It's the same Hebrew word, Hebrew root word. So nishima is the breath. So we have this very strong linking in our tradition of the soul and the breath. And since, especially today, we're going to be spending so much time beginning to pay attention to the breath, we're going to use that as our major practice today, noticing the breath arising and passing. I think it's really helpful to make this connection in a strong way. That the soul, this breath, this breath, every time we take a breath, this is the force of life moving through us. In sort of the most primordial way that we understand breath. Now we have, now scientifically we have technical ways of deciding when, you know, brain death and when death happens. But to basic human beings as we evolved, if you want to know whether somebody was still alive, you know, you held a little mirror to their mouth. If they were breathing, they're alive. Breathing is breathing and life. You know, as long as you're breathing, this is it. This is the whole thing. This is the soul still in the body. And And there's four parts, there's actually four parts to a breath. We're going to work with that because in our tradition, even though later when we teach the basic teaching, we'll just pay attention to the breath itself. But in our tradition, we have a whole link between that soul and that breath and the divine name itself, the most holy name in our tradition for God, the name Yud Hey Vav Hey, a four-letter name, which has right in it the sound of breath, is right in the name itself, because the letter He, the divine name Yud Hey Vav Hey, is the sound. That's what that sound is. That's what the letter He is, the breath. And just as that divine name has four letters, so does a breath has four parts too. So there's the space sort of before you start to breathe in, when the lungs are in their most contracted state, because they're empty, just like a balloon before it's blown up, the smallest. So when we make the connection to the breath and the divine name, you could imagine that this name, that the Yud is the place of emptiness before the breath comes in. And then you breathe in, and that in-breath has a sound. Well, it's going the other direction. It's the sound of the hay coming in. So you breathe in, and this is true of every breath. You breathe in, and at some point the in-breath stops. I'm sure you've noticed that. And then the lungs are in their fullest capacity. And there's a there's sort of this gap there before the out-breath starts. So that represents a concept of fullness. The lungs are their most expanded. And we can connect that to the letter Vav, which is the straightest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Represents sort of the concept of fullness. Even when you, if you notice, you take a breath in, if you pay attention to your body actually straightens up a little bit. Your spine straightens up just automatically because the lungs fill up and they push the spine up. So that place, the Vav in the name represents the full place in the breath. And we breathe out again. And same, the letter hey again, because the in-breath and the out-breath are both the letter hey, both the sound. Or so we have this actual, so now not only are we saying that our soul, you know, this is our soul, we have these bodies, we have a soul because we're still breathing, we're still alive, but that aliveness in me is actually the divine name. It's God, it's the God aliveness in me. So we're being breathed. God is sort of the God force of the universe is breathing us, empty in, full out, and we fall into this pattern. So there's a lot more to say about that. We'll unfold over the week, but I want to add today in this first day that since there's these four letters in the divine name, the morning prayers are also fall into a way of looking at the having four parts, just like there's four letters in God's name. So then to do a whole complete prayer service, there should be four parts to it, to connecting to the divine. And those four parts are loosely thought of as the body connecting to the divine here in the physical plane. That means I have a body still. And then there's the connection to the divine in the heart realm. That's where we're going to go next in our prayers. We're not quite there yet in the prayer service. But connect in the heart. And then there's a connection to the in the third world of prayer, there's a connection to the divine, sort of in the level of mind and intellect and wisdom and understanding. That another way of God manifesting, and that's the part of the prayers after the Baruch Hu traditionally, where we say the Shema, where we try to understand the oneness of all things and how everything's interconnected. And we have all the metaphors about light after the Baruch Hu, which are metaphors about wisdom, light, wisdom are connected. So that's the whole section of prayer where we get into the level of mind. And then the fourth world of prayers is a world of non-duality where everything is all one. And so that's sort of characterized in our prayers by the silent Amida, which we have words for now to point us in that direction. But it's really that's the point when the space between us and God isn't there anymore. So we've made this connection by connecting first in the body and then in our hearts and then in our minds. And then the fourth world of prayer, we're just God. The words are coming through us. We say, oh God, open up my lips so that your words can come out through me. It's not even you speaking anymore. And so those are the four levels of prayer. We're still on the first one for today. We're still connecting to the body. So we start by being thankful that we wake up and we're still in the body. Even the Matovu, will say this another day, has really connections to the referring like to the body, the tent, you know, that we live in. And now we're doing Elohai Neshama, so we can really connect to the breath as being this divine breath flowing through us. And that's one way of looking at the end of this phrase, Tahorahi. That, so, my God, this breath, this soul breath, same thing that you've given me, this is God breathing me. Of course it's pure. As soon as you recognize that this is the divine force moving through you, we're acknowledging the purity just of being alive and still breathing. So that's my kavanah for this prayer, that we're alive and breathing and that's God breathing us. Maybe that we can feel that just having a body means that God is embodied in us.
Elohai neshama shenatata bi tehorai. 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 Elohai neshama shenatata bi tehorai.
Really, as you sit or stand, feeling the words and the import of the chant in your body, to let that sense of livelihood, the sense of vitality, be really the focus of your attention, this extraordinariness of being. The very fact that we exist, breath by breath, for all of our life. Each time we take the breath in order to chant out again a word of praise. Because our bodies still work. The atmosphere around our planet still works. Hallelujah, I can take one more breath. Kalan Shemata Hallelujah, every living being praises God, every breath praises God. Being itself, the extraordinary, beyond imagination, myriad forms of God that make up this world that we live in. The sense that we want to have cultivated and be cultivating in this moment of coming to the end of this section of praise, of mind so wide in awesome recognition that there is nothing but praise or blessing or thanksgiving. The stuff of our lives is the stuff of the story of our life. And in this moment, being enough is enough. Being alone by itself is enough. This world full of beings and breath is itself an acknowledgement and a praise of the divine. Kol Hanshamata Halelya.
Kol Hanishama, Kol Hanishama, Kol Hanishama, Teha.
Hallelujah, call Hanisha.
Kol HaNishama, Kol HaNishama, Te'Halleluya.
If you think of the words Or Chadash, a new light, new light will shine. That's really why we've all come here in this week in this way. That somehow the prayer of my heart, and in some way I think the prayer of all of our hearts, is that there should be such light in our mind that everything that we've seen, that we haven't seen, that is blocking our way to clear awareness, blocking our way to knowing that there's nothing but thanksgiving in our hearts, nothing but blessing to do, that the compassionate response is always the way to peace, that the stories in my mind that keep me from that awareness, because they're old habits of my mind, are just old habits of my mind. And if there were a bright enough light, I could see that they are permeable, insubstantial old habits, and that when they are fully seen, they can fall away. When they fall away, there'll be nothing but gladness and thanksgiving and the ability to bless. Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir.
Number 8.
Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir V'nizkeh lanu mehera l'oro. Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir V'nizkeh lanu mehera l'oro.
In the prayers where we're trying to prepare ourselves for the chanting of the Shema. So some people have a custom, if you have a talisman, of gathering up the tzitzit from the four corners As if to say, we want to bring all of our, we have to bring all of ourselves, all of our consciousness, everything from every direction. We have to pull that all together in order to appreciate oneness. So that's a first physical kavana that you can have. You can just make motions even from the directions that are invoking. If you're not wearing a talis, if you'd like to do that. Some other things to prepare ourselves so that by the time we get to the chanting of the Shema itself, we've inclined our hearts and brought our attention there so we can try to be as fully present as possible for those words. Maybe just for a moment, I'll focus just on the first word and the last word, the Shema and the Echad. So the first word that we'll be chanting in that chant is really the word to pay attention. That's what we're really teaching. We're trying to say, pay attention. And so if we want to get to the last word, which is seeing the underlying oneness of all being, of everything there is, then the path to do that, the first step, is to pay attention. We're going to even unpack the first word a little bit more as well, as a way of preparing for the Shema. And many of you have done this already. So we're going to start by chanting each of the letters of that first word, Shema, together. After I give the explanation, we'll do that chanting process four times, and then we'll go into chanting the Shema one time. After we chant the Shema, that'll be the time for your private prayer. That'll be the time for the fourth world of prayer. After we've said the word one, finished the whole Shema, and if you want, you can say the words of the V'ahavta, whatever other words of prayer you'd like, and then there'll be some silent space. Probably by then we'll have about 10 minutes left for just being silent, letting God speak through you, hearing the divine voice speak through you, or just praying from your heart, however you want to use that silence today. We'll do some other things later in the week with the Amidah. So to prepare now, we're going to chant the letters Shin, Mem, and Ayin in that order, and we'll do this chant four times. So that first letter, just like the whole word Shema, is to pay attention. The first letter of the first word of Shema is in fact the sound, which is universally recognized as the sound to pay attention. In every culture, shh means listen, means pay attention, every language. And now scientists have done studies on that. That's the sound, it's called white noise. It actually blocks out other noise. White noise sort of, helps cut through distraction so that you can really be present. So that the chant will start, and each of us hopefully will be encouraging ourselves to really get here and pay attention. So first we'll chant, shh, and really try to feel it. And then the second letter, so what are we paying attention to? The second letter is the sound. So also cross-culturally in every language, that's the sound for the origin of all things, the mother. Every language has that sound. Is im, aim is mother, ima. So what we're trying to pay attention to is the source of it all. So we'll be saying shh, and then we go to the sound. I also like to think of it as sort of just as pure vibration. That really everything that is just vibration. And so we're paying attention to the origin, the vibration. And then we'll chant the ayin. And the ayin in modern Hebrew is a silent language, a silent letter. But in its origin, it was a guttural letter. So now in Hebrew you don't pronounce the ayin, but really the sound of the ayin was come from deep in the throat. So when we get to that sound, we'll chant ah, and the sound of the ah, the vowel sound coming with it from the word Shema. But so what I like to sort of imagine about that is that we're calling ourselves to pay attention, and we're paying attention to the origin of the universe, which starts sort of humming and buzzing, and then you have the Big Bang. It sort of breaks forth. There's this moment when it bursts forth from the throat. So we're sort of paying attention to the birth of the universe right here. That's how I feel about those letters anyway. So we'll chant each of those letters in that order four times, and then after that we'll sing the whole Shema together with the melody you're used to. I'll say for another day, when I do the Shema, I'm going to chant the name Yah for the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. A lot of you know why, but I'll explain that maybe tomorrow. So, but feel free if you want to say Shema Yisrael Adonai, I'll be saying Yah, but if you're, the tradition obviously was originally to say Adonai. I'll explain that later. But, so feel free to do it the way you're used to doing if that feels right to you. Now with all those words, come back to the intention. We gather up all of our energy and our attention by bringing in from the four corners. Now we'll chant to get ready for the Shema. Shema.